So let's move to proposals. First one is three splash waterfowl hunting package with Chad and Rocco, I think.
Hey, good afternoon. Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Hepler, for those on the listening, Chad Switzer, Wildlife Program Administrator. I am flying solo as Rocco is on vacation right now. So, yeah, we have the duck hunting season proposal in front of you or something for your consideration here. I know in previous months or meetings, Secretary Hepler and Rocco, our senior waterfowl biologists, have discussed this regulation change with you here recently at some meetings. So I think, you know, the supportive information and for those listening, we know duck hunter participation, not only in South Dakota, but within the Central Flyway and across the nation, has been declining. In fact, if you look since the mid-1990s, South Dakota's been losing on average about 3% of our duck hunters annually. Based on some previous human dimensions work, I guess, related towards duck hunting, the ability to identify ducks in flight or on the wing has been identified as a potential barrier to duck hunter recruitment, retention, and reactivation. We know there are obviously many other factors that could be contributing to this decline, but that is one item we feel that we can potentially move the needle on from a regulation standpoint. So over the past couple of years, Rocco has led a group of staff from other states and has worked very closely with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and we have approval from the service to implement what is titled a two-tier waterfowl system. Two-tier meaning there would be an option for duck hunters to select, let's use South Dakota for an example, when you need to purchase your state migratory bird certification permit to hunt waterfowl, you would have two options for you if this would move forward as we have recommended. Your first option would be to select the traditional or current regulatory package, which would allow you the maximized, most liberal hunting package for you to hunt, no different than what is currently available to duck hunters. The second option for those when they purchase that state migratory bird certification that is associated with their license would be what we call a three-splash option, and that option would limit that duck hunter for that respective duck hunting year to only harvest three ducks. It would not matter the composition of that daily bag from those three ducks. It could be two pintails and one blue wing. Could be any combination of ducks, but you're only limited to three. In conjunction with this, Nebraska and South Dakota are taking the lead here in the U.S. In implementing kind of a trial run, if you will, of this license package option available to hunters. And there will be, we have in place what we feel is a very sound and solid research project associated with this if we move forward to monitor the effectiveness and some other variables associated with such a license option for our duck hunters. So the recommended change from last year up above, Mr. Chair, would be to implement this experimental two-tiered duck hunting regulation in South Dakota, which again would include the two options when you buy your state migratory bird certification permit of either sticking with a traditional daily bag limit or to select this three splash option, which we hope would increase interest and potential duck hunting opportunities and maybe reactivate some hunters or recruit new hunters to duck hunting. We know this is not the silver bullet to help address the decline in waterfowl hunters, not only in South Dakota but across the country, but it is a barrier that has been identified, again, in some human dimensions work. This experimental season package would not begin until the fall of 2021. And if you remember, Rocco brought this up to you at your June meeting. There's some things that we want to start working on. If the commission moves this forward as a proposal and finalizes in September, give us some time to do the proper communication and outreach for this type of duck hunting package. And then the recommended change number two there is to modify our current non-resident waterfowl license, the cost associated with that, and to remove the migratory bird certification permit that currently is joined together with that license. We need to separate those and modify that license and the license cost, because we talked about with those two options available to hunters, they would have to select a state migratory bird certification permit via the traditional or this three splash option. So there would be a modification to that license and the composition of that license as well. So with that, I know we've talked about this in previous meetings, but that's what we have recommended for you here today. Again, this would not go into effect until the 2021 duck hunting season. And I would stand by for any questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chad. Questions? If not, we'll need a motion to approve the proposal. Oh, Commissioner Boyd.
No, I was just going to speak in support of this. So in lieu of that, I will make a motion to approve.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion now or questions? If not, let's call the roll and vote.
Commissioner B?
Aye.
Perfect. Boyd?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor.
Let's move to number 11 is spring turkey hunting season with Chad and Chad.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, before we dive into the action sheet here, I have Chad Lehman here, our senior waterfowl biologist. He's a wildlife biologist. Chad would like to present just a brief informative presentation just to give you a little update on some of the biological data we have to update you on in regards to turkeys in the state, and then we'll dive into the action sheet here if that works, Mr. Chair.
Sure, that's fine. Thanks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me?
I can.
Fantastic. For the record, I'm senior wildlife biologist Chad Lehman in Custer, South Dakota, and I'm working with wild turkeys from across the state, and today I'm going to give a brief presentation on the status of wild turkeys with research and management and focus a little bit more on the Black Hills. So, Chris, we can go to the second slide there, and this is just straight out of our turkey management plan. These are our spring turkey unit objectives for 2020. Just to give you an idea, most of the spring units are in the increase objective. We do have a handful of units there in green, which are at maintain, and that does include the Black Hills. Next slide, Chris. Here we have a spring harvest success and fall harvest success graph for the Black Hills from 2003 to 2019. And you'll see that typically spring harvest success is above the 30% harvest success threshold that we've set in our management planning. However, in the past 7 years, you'll see that we've only been above that threshold 2 out of 7, and we have been lower in harvest success, which has been somewhat of a concern, and that can obviously influence, you know, the manage of spring harvest as well as fall harvest, and I'll talk a little bit about that in our strategies here. Next slide. And so for the Black Hills, our mean harvest for the previous 2 years is just above 1,400 gobblers. And we use that as a surrogate population status for our management. And so we're right on the border of moderate and low surrogate abundance. That puts us in the population objectives of maintain. And the harvest strategy A is more of a conservative harvest strategy within that moderate abundance. And so where that puts us then, for fall harvest, that means the managers have to limit their fall turkey harvest to 600 birds or less. And then also you could limit the unit boundary as well for that fall unit if you'd like. Next slide. And so this, This harvest matrix was taken right out of our management plan, and you'll see that that puts us in our moderate column there. We're just right on the edge of the low and moderate. And then if you follow the harvest strategy A across, that's what puts us in that classification currently then of 600 or fewer birds. And that's just a way of basically keeping everything very objective for our management based on our surrogate status and then based on our 30% harvest threshold. Next slide. I just wanted to also touch upon briefly some research that we've recently done here in the Northern Black Hills. We had a graduate student out of Montana State University do a fantastic job for us. We had an average of 80 radio-collared females for each year of the study, so we had phenomenal sample sizes where we looked at adult and yearling survival as well as reproduction. And basically the three bullets, important bullets here to look at are we had poor survival for both adult and yearling hens when you compare data from the central and southern Black Hills. We also had lower reproduction compared to the central and southern Black Hills. And inclement weather really influenced turkey survival and reproduction in the northern Black Hills. We saw some very unique circumstances up there. For instance, we had adult females that would be incubating nests and dying of starvation in the spring and summer months, which we've never documented before. So we were seeing some real strange things related to inclement weather and reproduction and survival. And just quickly, I'll point out here, for mean elasticity, that's just a sensitivity parameter that we look at when we're looking at population growth. And what that 0.5 means is that's the most important vital rate that we evaluated when we look at population growth. So adult female survival by far and away influenced population growth. Yearling female survival was somewhat important, as well as adult female reproduction. And I'll point out here, also, we've done some modeling in the central and southern Black Hills, and adult female survival is also the most important vital rate when you're looking at population growth. Next slide. We also looked at some life stage simulation analysis, and this just basically follows the same pattern what we saw with the sensitivity analysis. You'll see, I want you to focus in the upper left-hand corner, adult survival there of females again. We had a real high R-squared value there of 0.61, which also indicates that adult female survival is explaining, you know, a lot of the variability in population growth in the northern Black Hills. Next slide. We also do a demographic modeling exercise every year. We split out the Black Hills by southern, central, and northern Black Hills. Of course, our best data right now is the northern Black Hills with us finishing up that study. And you'll see that the mean lambda there is 0.74. Lambda is our growth rate statistic that we look at. Anything above 1.0 is positive growth. Anything below 1.0 is negative growth. And you'll see there that the northern Black Hills, we are definitely a declining population up there. We've got some older data from the central and southern Black Hills. And you'll see in the central Black Hills, we modeled last year a lambda value of 0.91 or just below 1.0. And then in the southern Black Hills, we estimate that we're growing there at a 1.15. And we're pretty confident that the southern Black Hills is our source population. That's where our populations really key in on population growth. So we suspect that the southern Black Hills is really driving a lot of the Black Hills as far as ebbing and flowing with these population growth rates. Okay, next slide. So for some management implications then, you know, population growth rates vary considerably from the southern to the northern Black Hills, and hen survival is definitely the most important vital rate for population growth. We do need to keep an eye on reproduction, as that is also somewhat important. And cold and wet weather can definitely influence incubation and poult rearing for turkeys. Environmental factors can be extremely important in population growth. And typically they're much more important than fall harvest rates, particularly when those rates are held at a lower conservative rate. From a management perspective, it would seem to make sense then that we should close the fall turkey season and protect those hens. But realistically, when we look at the rates at which we're harvesting turkeys in the Black Hills, for instance, if we had a fall harvest of 200 turkeys, typically we only harvest 50% success rate. So if we harvested 100 turkeys, you would cut that a half again and you'd only be harvesting roughly 50 hens. And also we've really restricted the boundary in the Black Hills. We're only harvesting turkeys on the eastern front range. And so we've really limited where that harvest can occur. And most of the Black Hills is not seeing a harvest of fall turkeys. So therefore managers, through our discussions would still like to provide a limited fall season to try and mitigate some of these depredation issues that we do have with producers, in the Black Hills. Next slide. And with that, I guess I'll try and answer any questions.
Questions, anyone? Not. Thank you, Chad, very much.
You bet.
So back to Chad Switzer.
Yeah, I'm here, Gary. Yeah, thank you, Chad, for that information there. Mr. Chair, on page 24, I think, is where your spring wild turkey hunting season action sheet is. Just a reminder that this is a two-year recommendation that we're bringing forward for you for consideration. So the season dates listed there at the top would only include 2021 hunting season dates for the spring season. At the bottom of the page here, it looks like there's several items there for recommended changes from last year. They're not really all that complex once we get through them, but recommended change number one there is to offer 140 more single tag male turkey licenses for the prairie units than was available in 2020. If you turn to page 29 and 30, you'll notice that the vast majority of those additional licenses are being made available in the Marshall Roberts County unit, Grant County, and then we'll get into some of these East River units, Mr. Chair, where we feel we can offer some additional opportunity by adding some new counties to some existing units or creating a new unit. So that's where the bulk of those license adjustments are originating from. Recommended change number two there is to add Clark County to the Hamlin County unit. Some of you may or may not be aware, but in Clark County back in, it was probably the late 2000s, I believe, we had transplanted some turkeys into Clark County. Most of those birds were placed just south of Clark into some marginal turkey habitat there. We identified an area with our staff and the National Wild Turkey Federation that we felt could likely support a limited number of turkeys. And those birds, we monitored those birds for a few years. We have not for quite some time, but we do get very consistent reports and staff sightings of turkeys in Clark County. And thus we feel now is an opportunity to take advantage of that transplant. And we feel adding Clark to that Hamlin County unit is appropriate based on the landscapes and the number of birds within that area. Recommended change number three is to remove Douglas County from the Charles Mix County unit. And I'm just going to skip down to number four here, and then I'll talk about this. So with the removal of Douglas, we would like to create a new unit titled Unit 10A, which would include both Aurora and Douglas County. So the case for removing Douglas from Charles Mix is we feel there's quite a variation in the landscape and available turkey habitat between Douglas and Charles Mix. We do have some birds that have originated and can provide some opportunity in Aurora County. Thus, with the landscape similarities between Aurora and Douglas County, we feel that's a much better fit for managing that turkey population in comparison to maybe adding the Charles Mix. Recommended change number five is to add Buffalo County to the Brule County unit. We feel there's some opportunity there along the Missouri River in particular to provide some turkey hunting opportunities there. Recommended change number six is to add Beetle and Hand counties to our existing Girald County unit. So back in the early 2000s, we did a transplant of birds that I believe originated from Iowa and Missouri into Girald County there near Wessington Springs. And in the late 2000s, Tom Kirschman and I were able to work with the state of Pennsylvania, and we brought some eastern birds into that southwestern portion the western portion of Beetle County and in that southeast portion of Hand County there, just south of Wessington. We believe that those those transplanted birds have probably saturated the available habitat for turkeys within those areas. I had an opportunity to archery turkey hunt there many years ago, and there's some really neat landscape there coming off that Missouri Coteau there down in the James River lowland. And we're confident we have an opportunity there to take advantage of those transplants as well and add a few licenses to that larger unit and bring those counties, make them available for turkey hunting opportunities. Recommended change number 7 is to increase the current number of archery access permits we have for Adams Homestead and Nature Preserve. We currently have 20 access permits available. We have a recommendation there to increase that to 30. I've personally never been to Adams Homestead, but looking at the aerial photography and what I hear from staff, it's just some phenomenal turkey habitat, and we have a plentiful number or amount of turkeys within that area. In fact, we've actually transplanted some birds off of Adams Homestead and have brought some birds up here near the Pure area, on the lower Oahe, the Oahe downstream area. Recommended change number 8. This is kind of unique. Both wildlife and park staff have brought this forward together. This would be an opportunity to establish 20 mentored turkey access permits, so limited to mentored turkey hunters only, that would be valid on Adams Homestead, and they would be limited to a bow and arrow or a crossbow. And in visiting with staff, this would be a program. I don't know if you want to call it a program, but we have interest from a lot of staff that would like to get some youth introduced into archery and crossbow turkey hunting down on Adams Homestead. They would spend some time getting those youth acclimated to those weapons, and I don't know if you want to call it a guiding opportunity for mentored turkey hunters, but it would be a real nice setting to get some youth involved in the turkey hunting there. So, and recommended change number 9 there would be to allow for uncased bow and arrows for a resident hunter who possesses a valid mentored spring turkey license and an access permit. That's just a rule change we would have to make in 410301 to allow or have an allowance for the spring mentored turkey hunting opportunity. So I guess with that, I know that seems like a lot. I hope it's relatively black and white, Mr. Chair, but I'll certainly try to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Chad. Will one motion cover it, a motion to approve?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve?
Boyd will make the motion.
Second.
Any discussion? Any discussion? If not, we'll vote. Rachel, call the roll, please.
Mm-hmm. Aye.
Boyd?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor?
All right, thank you. So we'll move to 12 pheasant hunting season. Chad and Tom.
Mr. Chair, we just have a couple more turkey items to handle here if we can real quick.
Oh, sure.
On page 27 would be the Custer State Park spring turkey hunting season.
Yeah.
Again, another 2-year recommendation. We have no recommended changes for you to consider regarding this season within Custer State Park. We'd like to retain the 100 resident licenses we have. You can see success has been around that 50% the previous 4 or 5 years, and we feel things are going along pretty well there. So no action needed here, Mr. Chair, unless there's any questions or other thoughts.
Questions, comments? Doesn't look like it, so we can go to the next one.
Mr. Chair, on page 28 would be the administrative action for you to take formal action to, I guess, adopt as part of your proposal the number and types of licenses by hunting units. And on page 30, you can see changes by numbers and percent change from previous year by the number of licenses. You can see where those licenses were added, as I described earlier. So we would need action on this for the number of licenses.
Okay, do we have a motion to approve that?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, Rachel, please call the roll.
Heath?
Aye.
Boyd?
Aye.
Locken?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor.
Okay, thank you.